Great, thank you. So y'all can hear me now? Hi, John Mark. I thought I recognized your voice in that little exchange just before. All right, so good, you can hear me. This is going to be a new thing. I've never really done this, a kind of a readings and commentary kind of thing. But I think it'll be fun. I'm going to read today from my latest book from Jesus, which is called In the World, But Not of It. And I chose a particular selection about presence and about staying in presence in a busy world, because that seems to be like a very staying in presence while you're busy doing things and taking care of your responsibilities is not as easy as just being in presence when you're staring at the sky or something like that. So we're going to talk about that, and I'm not real sure how this is going to go because I've never done it this way before, but I think I'm going to use the reading as a jump-off point for me to speak about what I'm reading. And I've invited Jesus to be here, to be present, and to be involved, and to use me as an instrument for these teachings. And so I also have invited him to speak to us, if that is what he's going to do. So perhaps he might come through in that way, too. I think there is a little message at the end that he might be wanting to say to you all. And so, without further ado, I will start. So, since I'm going to be talking so much about presence, I want to first define presence, because maybe not everybody knows what it is. I think that probably most of you listening do know what it is and have experienced it more or less. But just so we're all on the same page, presence is an experience of being very alert, present in the here and now. And it's an experience of alertness, awareness, consciousness. And what it's not an experience of, and what allows you to experience presence, is that you're not lost in your egoic mind, in the voice in your head, or what we sometimes also call the thought stream. So everyone knows what that is. That is the ongoing commentary that we all as human beings have going on in our head to more or less an extent. And the spiritual path is really about lessening our identification with that thought stream and achieving a place, don't like that word achieving, but getting to a place where that thought stream is in the background and no longer running our lives, because that is what it does for most of us. The default position for us as human beings is to listen to that commentary in our mind, to get lost in it, to agree with it, believe it, value it, and let it guide our lives. And that is the problem. So the alternative, and there is an alternative, which is really important, because from that egoic state of consciousness, it seems like there is no alternative. But there is an alternative, an alternate way of living, and that is to live from presence. So that's what we're going to talk some more about, what that's like, and over the course of all of these sessions on Wednesdays, we will be talking about that, but also some today. So I'm going to begin by just starting to read this, and we'll see where it all goes. Being in presence is not so difficult when you're sitting quietly in a beautiful setting or meditating. But how do you stay in presence in this busy, stressful world full of egos and in the midst of taking care of your responsibilities? That is really one of the questions I get the most as a teacher, is how do you get there and how do you stay there? Because getting there is one thing and staying there is another. Most people do know what presence is. They dip their foot into it, but then immediately go back to the mind. And so they don't really get a thorough experience of what presence is and a deeper experience so that they would want to stay there and so that they would learn what it's like to live from presence. Because ultimately, that's what it is about. It's not just about experiencing presence now and then, but going deeper into it and more frequently into it so that presence is living us. And as part of the definition of presence, I should say that presence is another word for our true nature, for stillness, for silence, for any of the many names that we give this mysterious essence that we actually are, that is living this body, that is breathing this body, that is looking out of your eyes, that is speaking these words, because there is nothing else here but presence, but this magnificent intelligence that we are. And the funny thing is, we let the egoic mind, the thought stream, convince us that we are the I in the thought stream. I'm this, I'm that, I'm not this, I'm not that, I like this, I like that. That I seems to be who we are. It becomes our identity. And that is perhaps the character we're playing, and that's okay. But it's very important, if you want to be happy and peaceful and content, to understand that we are all so much more than this character we're playing. We are the divinity that is living us and alive in us as this mystery that we are. So, to continue, once you start moving or doing something, the mind comes online in a way that it was not when you were still. While a still body helps keep you in touch with presence, doing does the opposite. It activates the mind. Suddenly, the drill sergeant in your head steps forward and gives you your marching orders. Do this and now. Hurry up. If you respond to such orders, or even to more gentle suggestions, or seemingly helpful advice, you are in the ego's world. So that is the problem. And this is also the reason why we meditate with a quiet body. We keep our body still, and we move into a place where our breathing is more quiet and still, because that stills the mind. A still body stills the mind. And an active body is going to stir up the mind. If you're doing something, like this said, the drill sergeant in your head, and you all know what that is, unfortunately. We all know that drill sergeant very well. Sometimes I call it the tyrant. And it tells us what to do, when to do, how fast to do it, and whether we're doing it right or not, how much time we have left, what else is on our to-do list. It tells us whether people like us. It tells us what we like. But most of all, it tries to rule our life, be the master. It tries to tell us how to live our life. Isn't that amazing? Where did that voice come from? What's amazing is that we don't even question that voice. We're so programmed to believe it that we don't even turn around and look and say, wait a minute, who the hell are you? I'm not doing that. So, and sometimes when we go against it, we feel bad about ourselves or we feel like we let it down. And often that voice is a voice of a parent that we have introjected, we've taken on as our own voice. And so we have to learn that there is another voice here that isn't actually a voice. And I'll say more about that in a little bit. So now there is a solution to this problem of the tyrant and the drill sergeant who is wanting to take over. So this drill sergeant, it's got you. until you do one thing, and that is notice that you're doing the ego's bidding. And that sounds so simple. Just notice what's going on, right? Just notice that you are running around like a chicken with your head cut off because this voice in your head told you to do so and do it faster and do it better. You stop and you just notice that. And as soon as you notice that, you are no longer in the grips of that voice, in the grip of that voice. So noticing that you're doing the ego's bidding, this is often pretty obvious. When you are, you're usually hurrying, stressed out, worried, or in some other way, discontent. So those are all signs that you are involved with the ego and you are letting it run your life. You will feel hurried, stressed out, worried, or in some other way, just discontent. It could be boredom, for instance. All of those are signs that you are allowing this voice in your head to run your life. So noticing how your body is affected and noticing what's going on, because that hurrying and stress and worry and discontent can be felt in your body. So you notice how your body is affected. You check in, and that's a way of telling whether you're aligned with presence or with the ego. You check in. Are you relaxed or are you stressed out? Are you in a hurry or are you at peace? Are you worried and fearful or are you okay with life and trusting? So these are two very different states of consciousness, and by turning to your body and checking out whether your body feels contracted, ill at ease, uncomfortable, and whether you're having negative feelings like sadness or anger or irritation, those are all signs that you're letting the voice in your head run your life. You're not taking the reins of control yourself. So that's the beauty of it, is once you do notice, which really isn't that hard, honestly, it takes a certain spiritual development before we are able to notice the mind and notice what's going on. But that noticer, in a sense, we could call it the noticer, is developed in meditation, through meditation. That ability to observe what's going on from a distance, to detach yourself somewhat from thoughts, that capacity is developed in meditation. Once you notice you're identified with the ego, you're no longer identified. Noticing is presence. In fact, sometimes I call presence the noticer. The only thing that can notice identification or anything else is presence, because presence is the only thing here. There isn't actually an entity that is the false self that can notice. The entity that we call the ego or the false self is not an entity. It seems like an entity, but it isn't noticing. It isn't choosing. All it is a thought about yourself. So it has no volition. It has no capacity to operate. It is only a thought about me, myself and I, and my life, and everybody else. It's just a thought. So the only thing that can be aware, that can notice, and that can choose differently than to follow the mind is presence. So what we're developing when we develop this capacity to move out of the mind is we are developing our alignment with presence. Our capacity to be presence, to be our true self. So noticing is like a practice that we do, and the more we do it, the more we align with presence, the more we become presence. We become who we are instead of that false self that ego who's running around trying to get more power, more money, more security, more safety, more of anything, and never has enough of anything. So the only thing that can notice identification or anything else is presence. Then it's up to you what you do with that awareness once you have it. Once you've noticed and you are aware, then it's up to you what to do with that awareness. Because in that very second, you might just go right back into identification with the egoic mind. Or instead, you can use that awareness to choose to turn away from the thought stream. You turn away from the voice in your head. And what you turn your attention to is the experience that your being, that presence, is having here and now in this moment. And it is a primarily sensory experience. The experience of the here and now is what you are seeing, what you are hearing, what you are experiencing on subtle levels, intuitively, or even on a feeling level, contraction, energy movements, but also just simply the sensation of being alive and awake and aware in this beautiful, magnificent body-mind that we've been given, which is meant to be an instrument in the world. And this instrument will be used by presence if you give it half a chance. So that's why you turn your attention to the present moment and to the body and senses and away from the mind so that you can begin to live from a different master, from presence. Doing comes from one of two places. From the ego in response to a thought or mental directive, or out of the flow as a spontaneous urge to act. This flow is presence, and it is alive and intelligent. The flow is constantly moving, and it moves you according to a greater will. When you are present, right action and speech flow out of the moment. This greater will also allows you to follow the ego's will and to not be in the flow. That's how benevolent it is. And that's why we get into trouble, because thy will allows us to identify with the egoic mind and with the and have the suffering that can be created from doing that. The intelligence behind life is very benevolent and lets you identify with the ego and have that experience, or be in presence and have that experience. These will be two very different experiences of life, however, and will feel very different. Just as I said, you will be able to tell whether you're in the egoic state of consciousness or in presence by just turning to the body mind and saying, what's going on here? What am I experiencing now? And if it's contraction and negative feelings and discomfort and discontent, then you've been believing the lies of the egoic mind. And if it's relaxation and peace, well, then you're home. And that is where you can learn to live from, a place of peace and relaxation. When you're in the flow or in presence, you feel relaxed, at ease, without problems, and content. This is because the false self has dropped away. In presence, the self you imagine yourself to be gets lost or swept up in the doing, and that can't help but be enjoyable. So, and that really is what play is. Isn't that when we're having the most fun, we are lost in whatever we're doing? And it could even be something that you would consider work. But if you're lost in it, you can be laughing and having fun and be enjoying it. So it's when we lose ourselves in what we're doing that we enjoy ourselves. So you can see why the human condition is one of so much suffering, because most of the time people are involved in me, myself, and I. And there is no enjoyment in me, myself, and I. It's a self-centered, egotistical, fear-based, lacking-based place to live from. And it's very difficult to enjoy life from the place of being lost in your thoughts, because unfortunately that thought stream is primarily negative and fearful, and it gives you the sense that there's never enough, I'm never enough, other people are never enough, life is never enough, I'll never be happy. That's the reality for most people. Some of us have learned to clarify or clear out or neutralize the negativity in our mind, and then the thought stream is much more benign and neutral. And so kudos to you if you managed to do that. Good going. And that's what all the affirmations and positive thinking is about. It's about cleaning up that thought stream. It's about reprogramming the negative programming that we've been given. And that's great. And that's part of the spiritual process and unfoldment, to clear that out. And so okay, so when you are ego-identified, you feel the opposite. You're not immersed in or enjoying what you're doing, but hurrying and absorbed in thoughts about what else needs to be done or about something else. The ego is like having a parent looking over your shoulder. Oh, we all love that, don't we? Telling you what to do and evaluating your every move. It's no wonder people find themselves rushing to the next activity when the current one is so unpleasant. The ego is always hurrying to another, hopefully better moment. But if you bring the ego into that new moment too, you'll be just as unhappy. So why does anyone listen to the ego? The answer is, you can't help it, because listening to that voice is the default of the programming you've been given. The ego belongs to your human nature. Until you realize your divine nature, you have little choice but to follow your programming. Once you realize there is a choice, however, everything changes. And you are at that point now. You've realized you have a choice. Still, you have to learn new ways of doing things. The drill sergeant needs to be quieted and a new voice heard. This is such a momentous place in someone's spiritual growth, in their evolution, when they realize they have a choice about whether to buy into their thinking or not, whether to believe it or not, whether to jump in and feed those thoughts or turn your attention away from those thoughts onto the here and now, real experience of the body-mind. This new voice, the one that guides your activities, doesn't actually have a voice like the old master, the ego. In fact, it's silent, and it's found in silence by being both silent mentally and by being in silence with a capital S, and then listening. To hear this new master, you have to be receptive, still, and attentive rather than thinking. So that's the key, is that this voice that is your true voice, that will give you your true orders, is not actually a voice, but it manifests in your body as urges to move in certain directions, as inspiration, ahas, that might land in your mind as an idea, like a light bulb going off. But those kind of thoughts that pop into your mind from a deeper place are not at all experienced like the thought stream. The thought stream contracts us, but a light bulb going off in our mind as an idea that's been given to us from our deeper self is expansive and joyful. So, but basically this being that we are moves us very elegantly, very gracefully through life by simply inspiring us to move in certain ways without thoughts. And everyone knows what that experience is like because everyone has that, even a number of times in a day. You know, why do you jump out of bed when you do? If you don't have to listen to alarm and get up to an alarm, you may be laying there, and then all of a sudden you get up. Who did that? What did that? If it wasn't your mind telling you, okay, get up now, and you listening to it, what gets you up out of bed? What gets you to say yes to something, some opportunity, or some question that comes your way? Suddenly you spontaneously feel a yes arise in you. This is the truth. This is the true master. So, I see that there's only a few minutes left, and now I have so much to say. Okay, well, I'll just start going forward with this passage, and we'll just pick up wherever we left off next time. So, when you be, excuse me, when you be. When you become aware that you're marching to the ego, there are several things you can do to shift to a new, kinder master. So one of the most important things, and the very first thing to do, is to just stop. Stop whatever you're doing. When you're feeling that stress and that sense of hurry and worry or whatever it is that's contracting you, just stop. This breaks the egoic trance and allows for new possibilities. You might also include snapping your fingers or tapping your thigh or blinking your eyes or smiling or engaging in some other physical cue that signals this break with the egoic mind and anchors you in your body. So it doesn't really matter what you do to stop this momentum of the egoic mind. Do something physical to stop it, because something physical means that you're in your body. So you choose to do something with your body that will bring you into your body. And once you're aware of your body and in your body, you won't be lost in your mind any longer. It breaks the pattern of being lost in one's mind. So the very first thing to do is to shift, or the very first thing to do to shift is to simply stop whatever you're doing when you're feeling contracted. Stop a moment. So I'm going to have to stop here. I have about, 7 other things that follow this. And I will recap that first point the next time we get together. And we'll just pick up from there and we'll talk about the different things that you can do to shift to a new, kinder master. Because that's the really good news, is this master that we're trying to shift from is kind. You are kind. Your true self is kind. But it's not only kind, it's also efficient. It also has your best interests at heart. It will help you to survive. It will keep you safe and secure. It's not just a peaceful place. And that's really important to understand, because we think the mind is what keeps us safe. And so we keep going back to that because we think we need it to keep us safe, because that's what it tells us. But the opposite is true. And so I shall end here and look forward to speaking again with you on next Wednesday. So I will turn the mic over. Okay, great. That sounds great. Thank you very much. Because in the next half hour, I can finish all of these points and we'll have a nice little complete completeness about it all. Okay, so great. I'm going to just continue. And let me just back up again and just say, so we're going to cover some points. There are several things that you can do to shift to a new, kinder master. And the first point is to stop whatever you're doing, because this breaks the egoic trance and it allows for new possibilities. And that's so important. That's the first thing. Number two is take at least one deep breath. More is better. This is important because it calms the parasympathetic nervous system, which may have been activated by stressful thoughts. So when you're in a contracted, stressful state, you might be breathing very shallowly. And to shift the body-mind, just like we shift the body-mind in meditation by being still, to shift the body-mind, you take a few deep breaths, and that will shift it over. It will calm the parasympathetic nervous system and take you out of fight or flight. So number three, notice your surroundings, your breathing, and your hands. So this is a way of just getting into your body. Just look around, notice your breathing, notice your hands. What are you seeing and hearing? Look around, listen, notice your breathing, and look at your hands. Sometimes just looking at your hands is enough to ground you in your body. Even taking just a minute to do these things will begin to shift your state. So this is another point that will help bring you out of your mind and into your body. And we want to get into the body again, as I say, because it is the doorway into presence. Our senses and the experience that our senses are having is the doorway into presence. So tuning into the sensory experience allows you to shift gears, move out of your mind and into a place where you can be receptive to presence. Number four, another similar point, notice your body. Notice how it feels to be in your body. And don't be concerned if you feel stressed, tense, anxious, or uncomfortable in any other way. Just notice this and let it be. If your mind comments on how you feel, just notice that thought and any other thoughts and let them be there. And return to noticing your bodily sensations and letting everything be as it is. You don't need your mind to tell you how you feel, since your intelligence already knows. Your animal body is telling you something. Just listen to it a moment. Like a kind parent, give it your compassionate attention, and it will begin to relax all by itself, just by giving it loving attention. I think this is a great point because this really is the primary instruction for being in any moment. Just notice and let it be. Notice and let it be. That, what a great motto for life. If you applied that to any moment, you would stay in presence. So this can be a practice of just noticing and then let it be, let whatever is being experienced be. And this made a beautiful point that you don't need to fix something. You don't need to try to change something. Not that there isn't a place for inquiry at times. There's a place for using this intelligence that you are to inquire into the mind. But so often we get involved with the ego, trying to fix the ego. And this point that's being made here is that we can just stop and notice and let whatever is just be. And when we do that, the body, mind, and the feeling states begin to relax and ease, and then they can just move on. Because our tension and any feelings that we do have in the body, they have a lifespan. Nothing stays forever. You can only be tense in your body for as long as you're thinking tense-producing thoughts. So once you stop doing that, that tension will dissipate. And any feelings that were produced as a result of that tension will naturally dissipate if you're not feeding the tension with more thoughts. And the way you manage to get outside of your thoughts is you give your attention to the sensory experience in your body. It doesn't work to just say, don't think your thoughts. That's like saying, don't think of a pink elephant. You have to have an alternative of what to do besides think. And what to do is to turn your attention to your sensory experience, to what the body is experiencing. That's the alternative to the mind, and that will bring you into presence. And so you give your any tension or any negative feelings in your body, you give it attention like a kind parent would. You give it your compassion, your attention, your curiosity, your interest. That's just what a therapist does when someone is upset and they're in pain. Isn't that what we do? Isn't that what a therapist, what a healer, what a wise person would do to help another person? Our inner wisdom naturally gives love, attention, compassion, acceptance, and curiosity to whatever's going on. So when we do that, when we choose to do that, because it's a choice, so that's the choice that you make if you're not choosing to go into thought, you choose to give whatever is your compassionate attention. And that will bring you more deeply into presence. Okay, so number five, the next point, is to notice what is noticing. Now, this is a really important point. It will take you farther into presence than just noticing your body. It takes you a step back. It takes you one more step back, or you could say one step deeper into presence, to notice what is noticing. Notice what is aware of the body, the sensations and your surroundings. Notice the quiet, unobstructive stillness of awareness. Notice how it notices and accepts everything. It is like the still eye of a tornado, motionless and silent in the midst of whatever is happening. So if you can find that place of silence, of noticing, of the silent watcher, then you have found presence. So that is the next step beyond the body, is to notice what is aware of the body, what is aware of the sensations, what is aware of the surroundings. What is this mysterious thing that is aware? Of course, it's not a thing. It is actually who we are. Number six, and I noticed that just reading that quieted me down. It put me in a deeper place. I don't know if you experienced it that way too, but just reading these instructions can bring you into that place of noticing what's aware. It's beautiful. So number six is notice the experience of presence. So this is a way to go even deeper. after you've noticed what is aware of the body, of the sensations, and of your surroundings, now notice that experience of presence. What is that experience like? Is there aliveness? Is there peace? Let yourself sink into the aliveness, the peace, the relaxation, gratitude, awe, or any other quality of presence that might be there. That experience is the truth. That is reality. And that is what's important. Nothing in the world of form is as important as presence. And everything that is truly meaningful and fulfilling comes from presence. Number 7, from presence, find out what is true. Is it true to continue what you're doing? To do something else or to do nothing? So this list is that we've been talking about, this 7-point list, is how to gain mastery over the false master, the egoic mind. And so now we're coming back to the point of, okay, now that we're in presence deeply enough, just take a moment and look and find out what is true. Look into this subtle experience of presence and see what presence wants. How does presence want to move now? So then you ask yourself, is it true to continue what I'm doing, to do something else, or to do nothing? How does presence want me to move now? How is it moving you or not moving you now? And that's how you know what presence wants from you, is by noticing how it is already moving you in this moment. How is it moving you? What is it urging you to do? What is arising within you to do? What is true here and now in this moment? Check within, because you do know, but you have to pay attention to the more subtle realm of presence. Presence is subtle, and you can learn to tune into the subtle realm when you choose to. You have to make an effort. You have to make a choice to love presence enough to pay attention to it. You love presence. You desire presence enough to give it your full attention and to be curious about it and to see, what is here? What is here now that's true and real, that is moving me, that is alive in me, that has a plan? Or perhaps it just wants to rest. Because if someone's been very, very busy running around like a chicken with their head cut off, then it's very possible that presence will just say, stop, stop, rest, rest the body, mind, recoup, take a break, get balanced. So sometimes presence moves us to do nothing. Sometimes it might move us to do something entirely different. But we have to stop and turn our attention to presence and find out what that is. So once you are grounded in presence and begin doing something again, take it slower and keep checking in with presence. So that's how we can stay in touch with presence and stay aligned with it, is go slower, because the egoic mind tends to push us to do everything fast. So go slower and keep checking in with presence as you're doing something. Try to stay connected with that still point within. If you move too quickly, presence tends to get lost. Moving more slowly is key, because this thwarts the ego's tendency to hurry and allows presence to enter into whatever you are doing. We have to make room for presence to enter in to what we're doing. If we're listening to the mind, there won't be room for it, because the mind will push you to rush through every activity. There won't be room to really experience the activity, but the being that you are wants to experience life. It wants to savor it. It wants to tap into the richness. It wants to be happy, enjoy life, have fun, and play. The only way that is possible is if you take it slowly enough and make enough space in whatever you're doing to allow yourself to experience the presence that exists in that moment for you to become. Move slowly enough to stay in your body and senses and notice your body's experience. For instance, notice and experience your arm as it reaches for a cup, your foot as it touches the ground, your fingers as they type, your hands as they wash a dish, your whole body as it bends to pick up something. Notice the sounds and smells in your environment. Take in whatever you're looking at as if for the first time. Be the space in which all this doing is happening. And we can even just take a moment now to tune into this space. Just sense this space now for a moment, the space in which these words are appearing. They are just showing up in space, and you're receiving them in space. What it is that receives them is you. The real you is hearing, is experiencing these words and the space that they're showing up in. There's nothing else that exists in your world right now but this space and these words. And whatever else you might be experiencing along with it. And don't forget to also notice the aliveness and any other qualities of presence that might be showing up. The gratitude, peace, love, subtle joy, and contentment of your divine self. Notice also any wisdom, insights, inspiration, or knowings that might be bubbling up. All of this will be missed if you're hurrying and listening to the mind. So there is a lot going on in presence that gets overlooked or only gets partially realized. Gratitude, peace, love, subtle joy, and contentment. Wisdom, insights, inspiration, knowings. That is the voice, the master of your life. That is the voice to listen to. And none of those things are voices. They are experienced in the body-mind on subtle levels. Let that be the voice that moves you. And also, again, pause and take a breath regularly to make sure you're still connected to presence. Pausing gives you an opportunity to tune in and listen to presence and ask, am I still in the flow? Where is the flow going now? What is it moving me to do now? Without pausing and tuning in regularly, the egoic mind can easily co-opt presence, and you'll know when that happens by how you feel emotionally and in your body. So once you begin living more from presence, you learn to trust that the divine self knows how to move you in ways that are not only satisfying, enjoyable, creative, and wise, but also productive and safe. Your divine self is very practical and knows how to support your safety and survival, not only your happiness. The divine self has been waiting all your life to take over and live you. You only have to step out of the way and trust that it will do that beautifully. That means putting your mind aside long enough to discover what is arising to say or do or not do in any moment. So that was my stopping place that I thought might take only a half hour to get to. So we see. You never know, do you? I have a message from Jesus that I would like to impart to you before I end this session, because I can sense that there's something that he would like to say. And so I'll just take a minute here and we'll see what that is. Greetings and hello, dear ones. This is the one you have known as Jesus the Christ. I am so happy to be here and to be able to speak to you. It is a new event since I've never done this before in public, you could say, through this particular channel. So we appreciate her willingness to open to this, and we will have it be a short message. But we want you to know that we are here with these lessons today. Just as in our books, you can experience the energy, the intention that we have in speaking to you. We hope that you can experience the energy that we project into these teachings that are being given to you through this beautiful class. I especially want you to know that I exist in other dimensions, that I have always existed as you have always existed, and I will always exist as you will always exist. And I am simply a servant of you for now, but in the end, we are all servants of each other. And I am blessed and graced to be able to be of service to you, because there is no greater joy that I have than to give to you in this way, to uplift you, to encourage you, to show you that there is so much more than what you might think to this life and to the self that you may consider yourself to be. We are very happy to see that so many of you already know the truth of your being. And yet, it is often a nice reminder to have that, or to hear it from another dimension. So that's why we do it this way. You are eternal, as I am. You are on a beautiful journey. This is not an easy journey to be a human, but you have wholeheartedly chosen it. From the level of your soul, you have wholeheartedly chosen to be here, to encounter the difficulties and the joys of this life. You have come here to serve with what you have learned. Many of you are teachers. Many of you are healers. And we are grateful to connect with you in this way. And we want you to know that you can connect with me in any time that you wish by calling upon me. I am available to anyone who wishes to call upon me. And I will work through you in whatever form is appropriate. So having said this, just a brief hello. I will also bid you a good day and look forward to being part of this in another week. Goodbye. Okay, so there you go. So this is a great learning process for me. I'm finding out how I might do this class, and if you want to give me some feedback, that would be fine. And I will probably just continue to choose selections from this book, In the World But Not of It, or from the other books, the other two Jesus books that I've written, and we'll just go ahead and comment, just kind of riff like this. And so I think I will also bid you adieu and look forward to talking with you again on Wednesday, and turn the mic over, and you can do whatever you want with the next 3 minutes. Okay. Thank you for listening. Bye-bye.